7.
8.
And I stopped this week.
Yeah, you did. I was waiting for it.
I was conscious. I was like, oh, don't do it. Don't do it.
My eye was twitching. I'm like, he's going to do it.
Every time. The adult beverages are poured. The kids are asleep. Welcome to New Dad Gaming, a show about fatherhood, gaming, and new fathers figuring out their gaming lives. My name is Trevor, and I have a 2.5-year-old and a 5-month-old.
And I'm Jeff. I have a 7-year-old and a 4-year-old.
So if you're tired, Jeff, what do you as a sane human being like to do?
You know what? I like to sleep when I'm tired.
That's interesting. See, me too. And I almost thought it was a natural trend, but given that babies and toddlers don't sleep and don't want to sleep, maybe right. Maybe I'm wrong. I thought maybe I'm on the wrong side of this the fence on this one. It's just like, come on, man. Like, it's all I got. It's like the start of the show says the kids are asleep, and that's like right. It's almost a lie now.
It is, yeah. And you've experienced this before, and then you had a victory. You know, the kid was going to sleep,
and he took
now
that away.
Back.
That away from me. Oh, so I mean, to catch folks up, I mean, I've been going through this torment now for quite some time, but our 2.5-year-old has officially regressed. He is not having good nights. See, it all started with physical capability and specifically him being able to escape his crib and then open the door and just strut around the house late at night whenever he wanted to.
Look, I own this place. This is mine.
So I mean, the locking in the crib, it was kind of like that, the place of last resort. If it was just not going to happen, you've done the books, you've done the nap, you've done the books, you've done the bath, you've done story after story after story, and he's just not going down. It's like, okay, you're going to bed now. Good night. You turn off the light and you leave the room, right?
Yeah.
But that's gone now. Like, he took that from me because, like, he could just crawl the hell out of it. So, like, it's...
Yeah.
What am I supposed to do?
Yeah. I don't think you can straitjacket him. I think that's laws against that.
And this particular room, like, it just had... We've done our best to make it obviously cozy and like a nice place, but there's just like enough stuff in it that to concern me if he gets out of the crib. Yeah. So the latest update on it is we've switched rooms. And to make matters worse, is like, so we've had, and I'm very happy we did, but we had like 3 weeks of family guests staying over while this is going on. So I've been very limited in my options for what I could do, right?
Yeah.
And it's
you should switch shifts. You'd be like, okay, here, yeah. Your turn. Guys.
Thanks for visiting. It's 4 a.m. Here's my son. But, so we were unbelievably limited in what we could possibly do. So everybody's gone. It's my house again. And we've switched rooms. We've... call it like safety the room where even if he's in there alone, I have no concern about what he could do.
Oh, that's good.
We got a kind of child setup on the door so he can't escape.
Right.
So, and that's mostly useful again. Like, it's just, you've done everything possible. You've done your best to do it kindly, and it's just time for them to go to bed. It's still hell. It's not.
No, it's not happening.
He's eventually going down. It is starting to transition, but it's been one heck of a roller coaster as far as this is something you had. This is a victory you had achieved, and it's gone now.
He walked it back. He's like, oh, sorry.
And at the same time, like the other kid is not doing great. I mean, he won't lie down for naps on his own. And we're trying our best not to hold him all the time because that makes it worse. But here we are. So there's no reprieve during the day from him. And then at night, there's no reprieve from the other one. And it's just our house.
You get a 24-hour parenting gig going on.
There was some part of me at some time that thought, what if we did have three?
Oh my God, why would you do that to yourself? What are you going to do? Maybe one can supervise the other and then they'll just all fall asleep.
That's just, Man, because the thought, it's more like the old, like when they're all like a 6'4" and 2-year-old, I think would be like a really beautiful thing. But to have to go through this again, like I haven't gone through it again with my second kid yet. Like I have to deal with him.
You're not even there yet. Yeah.
No. Yeah. When he does this to me, I got to do this again, let alone like a third time. So that it is really making you second guess those thoughts, let me tell you.
But, yeah. And your oldest doesn't wake up your youngest, does he? Like that was our concern too. Oh, okay. Well, there you go. Yeah. That's wonderful.
Because part of it was like he would, in his freedom during the night, when he let himself out of the crib, he would just come upstairs and then he's chatting and he's laughing and then he's waking up the baby. And it's
right.
It's like, dude, come on. This is bad enough that you are awake, but you've also woken up your brother.
Yep.
And me.
Yeah. Well, tomorrow's going to be great when they're all overtired. And
well, that's the thing too. And then it's just like they are miserable because they're not going to bed. And it's like, yeah. It's funny, I have a remedy for this. Good, go to bed. Yeah. And then the next day they're miserable because they're tired. And it's like, you know what would have cured this?
Yeah.
There's something especially grating about it. It's where the thing you need just for your development, for your growth, for my sanity, for your attitude is sleep.
Right.
Go to sleep. It's what you need.
Yeah. I will ask, is he still sleeping at daycare? Is he still having an afternoon nap?
He is not. So the new daycare we're at, they don't have napping.
Okay, well, that's a good thing. I see. I thought he was going to be taking like a little nap in the afternoon, and then he's well rested for you guys. And he's like, I've got another 8 hours at me. Let's do this.
I have heard both schools of thought. I've heard some things where it's just like without the nap, they're overtired, and it's harder for them to calm down and go to sleep.
Mm-hmm.
So I half considered that might be part of it, his transition into this non-napping world. Oh, what happened? Anyways, it is crazy. It's funny because it impacts everything. And like I said, this show alone, much like last week, we're recording this late because like I couldn't get him to sleep.
I can see the moon right now. It's so late. It's
I can see smells. Like that's how tired we are.
Yeah. Oh, you're fighting the good fight. You'll get there.
Oh, but so that's me doing parenting terribly. Why don't we transition into somebody doing parenting so well? It's time for Gaming Dad Victory of the Week. Each week, we feature an exemplary gaming dad and often their kids who are doing fatherhood and gaming so well. This week's victory goes to Gaming Dad Alistair, hailing from Victoria, Australia, who dusted off the old N64 and introduced his three girls to a classic. So the photo Alistair posted is another classic from the awards here. Having his three girls huddled around the TV playing the game, a couple controllers in hand, just a phenomenal scene. And what is the classic? Mario Kart, of course.
Yes, it looks great. Excellent.
It just never dies. Like, it's just such the perfect system, and it's such the perfect game, isn't it?
It is. It worked with both my kids. It's a very accessible game. To any age, even if they're just sitting in front of the TV, like two of his girls without a controller. So like it's something that they can watch or participate in, and I highly recommend it. In this case, it's Mario 64, if I'm not mistaken.
Mm-hmm.
So that's even upping the challenge a little bit with that controller.
Oh, the weird three-prong one. But
yeah, or maybe that's better for kids.
Well, to put in some of his own words, I'm 26 and live in Victoria, Australia. I dug up my old N64, cleaned it up with alcohol, and plugged it in. It's pretty chuffed, but it still works, so my eldest, who was watching curiously, asked to play. She's 4. Her two sisters are both 2. So twins in this case, no less.
Wow.
Which, again, I mean, N64, gotta give them credit. 4 ports, 4 opportunities for controllers.
Yeah.
Something we're still missing these days. Her two sisters are both 2. I gave them a Pretendo controller, and they quote-unquote joined in, too.
That's perfect. That's the way to play it.
Yeah, this is just every part of this is classic so far. Josie wasn't a natural, but extremely determined. It was so sweet, I sat back and took the picture. And the hardware, too. I mean, it's, like, I don't know, what is that, like 20? I think we did a Google search on this on a previous episode. Like 20-odd, it feels like, I think it's like 20-odd years old. And you can still bring it out. Controllers are working. The cartridges are working.
And it was built to last. Like, that thing could, you know, turn up in a bomb shelter somewhere and still plug in and play. These are great systems.
And it's wild now, too, because the cost of these things, like, they're so expensive. They're such great collector items because there's so much nostalgia. There's so many great games.
Yeah. Give Mario Kart 64, GoldenEye, I'm set. Waiting for the classic to be released. Yeah. Come on, Nintendo.
But to see these three girls playing away on that old system, that old game, like, what a heartwarming photo. That is just fantastic. So, Alistair, congratulations on leveling up to Gaming Dad Victory of the Week. To yourself and your three N64 little girls, do your best to prevent them from learning about the blue shell.
Oh, God, no. So true. So very true.
That's how that goes from a sweet moment to a loud one very quickly. If you'd like to be nominated for the Gaming Dad Victory of the Week Award or know somebody else deserving, please send along the information to us at the website newdadgaming.com.
In this week's Gaming Cheat Sheet, we run down the highlights of what happened in the world of gaming. Burnout Paradise Remastered was announced by EA. The remaster will feature 4K and 60 frames per second, supported both by PS4 Pro and Xbox One X. Burnout Paradise was originally launched in 2008 and was praised for it to be the first title in the series to feature an open world. Buckle your seatbelts this March 16 when it releases. Assassin's Creed Origins launched its Discovery Tour mode. The free download to owners of the game allows players to take an ancient Egypt at their own leisure, free from enemies, and even take one of 75 themed educational tours the developer has made available. Sony has banned a PSN account due to a code of conduct violation 8 years after it was initially created. Reddit user Tiago28PEIXOTO says he created an online PSN user account using somewhat offensive language when he was 12 and has just recently been banned for the name, losing all digital purchases made. Because PSN doesn't allow for name changes, it raises questions on whether or not the service should finally rise to match its competitors with both Microsoft and even Nintendo, allowing for user name changes. Kingdom Come Deliverance has hit a huge milestone, 1 million copies sold since it launched last week. The Kickstarter title features an authentic medieval world with a love-it-or-hate-it realistic game mechanic. With these numbers, the game has already turned a profit for the small Czech developer Warhorse Studios. Online blockbuster PUBG has put future development on hold as they deal with online cheating. Many new features that the developer was working on have been put on the back burner to give focus to their anti-cheating effort. Cheating in the game has been on the rise in the past few months, with PUBG banning more than 2.5 million players at the end of January. That's almost 13% of their total player base on PC. And System Shock, the remake, has been shelved. Well, at least for a while. The cult classic was to be remade using the Unity engine and was successfully funded on Kickstarter in 2016. Plans changed to the game being remade in the Unreal Engine, along with a slew of other features being added. The publisher has admitted that they have lost the original vision and are taking a break to refocus the project, but noting that the remake is definitely not canceled. And if you are still playing Pokemon Go, like me, then you'll be excited to hear that the new Community Day has been announced this month, featuring more spawns of rare dragon Pokemon with exclusive movesets. Community Days are now a monthly event that the developer Niantic has put in place to keep its player base, or what's left of it, interested in catching Pokemon with movesets that can't be learned in the normal game. On the game release front for this week, some notables include Metal Gear Survive, Age of Empires Definitive Edition, Xenon Valkyrie Plus, Stellaris Apocalypse, Pascure, and Sword Art Online Fatal Bullet. Xbox games with gold freebies were announced for March, Trials of the Blood Dragon and Brave for the beginning of March, with Super Hot and Quantum Conundrum for the later half of the month. And if you happen to have a PSVR, that is, there's a ton of games on the PSN to jump your VR catalog. That's the Gaming Cheat Sheet for this week. Catch a nap and tune in next time for another update.
Man, see, I want to get right to that PSVR sale, but the...
Oh, I know.
But two other things, like, really kind of jumped out at me. So, I mean, Burnout Paradise.
Yes.
Was fantastic. Like, that was a great game.
Yeah.
And so,
did you play that one more than Revenge?
Yes.
Because I remember Revenge being my number one.
Yeah, I think I might have missed Revenge, honestly. I hadn't done too many of the Burnout. I think I had Burnout 2 or 3. Skipped a whole bunch of them. And then, yeah, Paradise had hopped. I grabbed it on a Steam sale. Super cheap. And just, man, flying around that world, like classic like Burnout gameplay. Like the thought that they could up the graphics in that one, the gameplay, make it rock solid. I mean, the only thing that, like, did you feel a little bit weird about it because it's EA?
Yeah, I did, because it just, it again, with the whole Battlefront thing and EA kind of instituting a lot of loot box stuff and microtransactions, I'm not sure if they're going to put anything extra into this remaster or if it's just a straight, here guys, we made this for you.
Yeah,
see, and it's the exact same.
And you can just buy it, and they can make some money, and off they go.
And then done, yeah.
It's like, look, and the place we're in too. It's like I wouldn't fault them for some microtransactions. Like, look, you want to sell extra shaders or like a super exclusive car that doesn't really have any extra stats. It's just interesting.
Mm-hmm.
Fine, you know, like there's some ways to do it. Like, I get it. You got to keep the lights on as far as like an online, especially like a massive online player game like that.
Yeah.
Yeah, sure. But if they completely EA it.
Like, isn't that like something to say too? You're like, you're scared of these games now because you don't know what's hiding behind the announcement. So we'll see. I don't know. It's launching pretty soon. So I can only imagine that, you know, maybe it's just a peace offering to its base and.
Yeah, to show they can do it right. Because, I mean, to muck with a well-revered title like that and just to ruin it and throw stuff in it, like, like gross microtransactions would be, yeah.
Hopefully not. Like, it's been done before. It is a remaster. So to implement something new like that. Like, the original did have, I think, certain things that you could buy, if I'm not mistaken, at least DLC for it. But,
yeah. So then the other one mentioned too was like Kingdom Come Deliverance. Like, I don't know if you've been watching any of the videos of the gameplay. Like, it looks so interesting.
It does. It also looks time consuming.
That's the thing. It does not look dad friendly. Like, it does not seem like a dad game, I'm afraid.
No, it does look. I have been watching Twitch streams of it and for people to talk about it. And, you know, it has so many elements going for it that are just kind of neat. Like, with the no fantasy world, like, it's totally, they brought a historian in, apparently, to kind of craft this world to, like, to make it as authentic as possible. So even NPCs in the game world, if you have a little bit of blood on your armor or shirt, they react to you differently. So, like, stuff like that is neat. Like, that to me is just a whole new world of realism, but I'm afraid with that comes a lot of time sink, like, to get to that point. It's not that you can level up so quickly and be done. It's, you just start as this character and you have to learn everything at once. There's even parts in it, like, sorry to go on about it, but you can't even read messages or books in the game because you have to learn to read. So, like, your character is crazy. So, yeah, like, it, just that amount of detail is really, really intriguing. It's just, again, the time sink, I've heard the tutorial alone is like 6-7 hours. So it might be something long-term game if you're interested. Again, Witcher 3, I go back to Witcher 3. So
yeah, you have to choose your game of the year type of thing. And not as an award winner, but the one game you will play for the entire year.
Right, an investment.
Yeah, but that realism, that's an interesting, because that's the type of thing you would see. Somebody would release a game, except it's just combat. You know what I mean? Like, there'd be one part of this game that gets released as an entire game. And it's like Medieval Knight Fighting 2012.
Right.
But this is, it's the entirety of the world. Mm-hmm. So it gives you the Skyrim-style size. I doubt it's big, but just like it gives you this big world to go through, except it's very much more aligned with real life. Like, that.
Yeah,
man, that seems like, so interesting. But,
and even just little things of, like, you can't go into anybody's house and start ransacking it like you could in other games.
How do you make money?
Well, that's the thing. You have to live an honest life or rob people out in the field. I don't know.
Yeah, with honor. Yeah, sure. Oh, so that one's, man, good on them. That's a great story. So kickstarted, successful, a bunch of sales afterwards. Yeah. Great. Like, you know, it's really, again, like this, in this kind of AAA sullied type of world, it's kind of nice to see these victories like this and something that's definitely off the beaten path. But onto the meat, man. So the PSVR sale. How is your wallet holding up? Or better, how's your willpower holding up?
My willpower is on edge, man. Like, I have looked at almost every single PSVR game is on sale on this PSN this week. So I have to, like, duct tape my wallet shut. There's so much I need to play. But looking at the sales, I'm like, I just kind of want to experience that game, and not that much money.
Dude, that's just a cup of coffee. I could do that.
That's right. That's right. And even just, I'm thinking, like you said, when you have people over, there's like new games you can introduce them to. So I thought of those games that I could get for when people come over and want to experience it. Like, there's even like Shooty Fruity and stuff like that, where it's, you know, more casual and people can kind of jump in and get used to it. I don't know.
I'd have to check. I was wondering if Fruit Ninja is on sale.
Oh yeah, that's another one.
See, because that seems really super basic for somebody. There's a couple that I see as very basic. One is like Carnival Game.
Yeah.
Except that one's like, you can do that in real life very easily. Like, there's no real fantasy to that. Like, you know, it's not like flying planes or having a shootout chase on the highway. It's like, play skeetball. It's like, well, like, there's an arcade down the street I can do that at. Like, that's not really, this is just me not going outside. It's kind of admitting the problem with gaming.
Right, yeah.
As opposed to, you know, Fruit Ninja, which is, okay, I have katanas and someone's throwing watermelon at me.
Right.
Let's make this happen.
But yeah, there's a lot in there. I'm not sure if you have any recommendations for me to pick up that you have, but I was looking at like Thumper even, because I played that demo and it was really cool.
Let's see. So the ones that I have, let's say, yeah, Thumper, I don't know. It's kind of, if it was low enough, I think Windlands, if you can get that one cheap.
Windlands?
Yeah. So Windlands, it's this fantasy world where you're up in the sky and you have two hook shots on both of your hands. That's your only means for transportation.
Okay.
And then you have to go through a bunch of challenges and like collect a bunch of things. It's mostly like kind of time trial or just get up to like almost like Mario 64, like in the sense that this world, this particular part of the world has six keys or whatever it is. And you have to figure out a way to like possibly climb up this hill with just these two hook shots.
Oh, okay.
But it's very much like, it's such a, like a Spider-Man experience where you are just flailing through this low poly, but still beautiful world, like grappling onto trees, and you get such a sense of movement and like distance. And like, you look down and it's like, this ocean is like way, way down below it.
Yeah.
So
it'd be cool to see too, right? And yeah, VR world and VR speak.
VR speak?
Yeah. Just having those games and being in the worlds are totally different than what you see. Because I really wish that they had demos for a lot of these. Because you never know the quality when you step into them. And you see screenshots and videos, but that is nothing for what the VR is all about.
So I think like some of the interesting ones that have the most hype around it seem to be Superhot.
Right.
Like that one just, you know, gets praised across the board. Like it, rave reviews about it, and it, more than that too, just like a incredible showcase for the technology as far as VR goes.
Yep.
There's ones like Static and Keep Talking, No One Explodes.
Yeah, I saw that one. You have that one, right? The Keep Talking.
Yeah,
one?
And that's a riot. Like I had my whole family playing that one.
Yeah.
That one especially with friends is a blast. You print out the manual, you give it to other folks, and like one of them puts on the headset. And even with the controls, are generally able to get it done. So that is a really incredible party game if it's a decent price.
Hmm. Yeah, it was pretty cheap. I think it was like $10 or something. So
then the only problem with all those other things too. The other game came out. Apex Prophecy or Apex?
Oh, the new one?
Yeah, like
Yeah.
Apex Construct, perhaps?
Yeah, something like that.
I have I'm like, okay. Now Trevor Googles something.
He Googles it. And that game was, I think, made specifically for VR, right? Like, wasn't an afterthought.
Mm-hmm. Small team, Apex Construct. Seems to be having pretty, generally, like, very positive reviews with some cautions. So it's like, oh, this is so great. The world is wonderful. Like, and it's like, oh, these things are frustrating type of thing. So it's not just across the board one. So I feel bad for them because they had just released this game before this huge sale hit. And it's like, so they could pick up your game or I could buy these four that I've been like watching for a long time.
Yeah, that does suck.
So I feel bad for that developer. But then also on the 26th, Moss releases.
Yes.
And that, I don't think I could resist that one. Like that, it's, I've been waiting for that one. Like that game is just so fun, so gorgeous. Like the demo I got to play of it.
Yeah.
That had to be one of the coolest, fun little experiences I've ever had with VR.
It was like playing almost, not a DreamWorks or Pixar film, but it had that sense to it. Like this cute little character, mouse that it was like looking up and waving at you and, you know, gesturing to you what to do next. That was a neat experience in the demo.
Yeah, we had said on this very show before that it's like the one of the greatest demos that they had was Robot Rescue on the PlayStation VR room or whatever they call it.
Yeah, yeah.
And so it was a platformer, like, but you're kind of just a floating head following it. And it's just like, man, if they just built a game like this.
Yeah,
and they did. And it's Moss and it's amazing. But the sound design, I think it's going to stand to be one of the biggest demonstrations of the VR gaming potential to come out. I mean, geez, that's a lot of, to try to hype it up before the thing even launches, but I just think that it's not so much, it's not, look at the incredible technology we're able to show. It's not incredible gross fidelity or something nuts like that. It's just the interactivity of you being in a virtual world, the sound design, like when you first enter the library and there's like the whispers, like an all like 3D sound, like
even turning the pages, right? Like you have to physically turn the pages of the book to start your game,
and just grabbing all the elements, like the mouse's constant interaction with you. I mean, you mentioned it, like him jumping up and down to get your attention. It's just, it feels like they've really, so many devs have, or so many of these games kind of seem to stop at the, okay, and you're in this place and you're shooting a gun.
Yeah.
Like that's the activity for this part of it, as opposed to, look, if you're in this world, if you're actually part of it, if you're virtually there, how would the world interact with you?
Right.
You know, you can think about PSVR Worlds did it really well with the London heist. When you were first interacting with the mobster.
Yes, yeah, that's right.
You know, he's like reaching for it. He wanted you to light his cigar, like he was throwing you things.
And the smoke in your face kind of thing.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. So, call me unduly hyped for... unduly hyped for Moss, but I think...
You got your pre-order in, I see it.
Hold on, man, did I pre-order it? I might have. I would. I think that's a day one for me. Which is sad because I have so many damn things to get through.
I know, it's the backlog that keeps growing, right? But I find VR is a little bit different of kind of jumping in and seeing what it's all about and then going, like you can have a few going at once.
Yeah, because it's not really, what's been the longest playtime you've had in PSVR so far?
Like consecutive, like how many hours? Again, it would probably be Skyrim that I was in for a good 3 hours at once, so which is long. Yeah, 3-4 hours I think.
That's a long, it's a lot to take. I think the most I've ever had is probably about an hour.
Yeah,
I think that was probably with the space game
Eve Valkyrie.
I think I'd thrown an hour into that.
With Skyrim I just put on the helmet at like 10:30 and I took it off and I was like, oh, it's 1:30.
Hey, the sun is up in this world.
Yeah. I want to go back in.
Yeah, I'd be curious. I'd love to see some stories online about the longest stints people took. Or like I mentioned that one time where the guy was relaying his experience how he had fallen asleep in.
Oh, right, yeah.
Yeah, and then woke up from his dream in PSVR.
That'd be like waking up in a weird nightmare. It's like, whoa, this isn't real.
Oh, depending on the game, that would just be terrifying.
I wanted to ask you, though, the Spark's on sale, and I think you were a big advocate of that.
Oh, yeah, yeah. See,
yeah.
And that's another one, too, as far as just showing where the dev has taken the extra care to really consider what it's like to be in this world and to play with that type of feeling. Like, so the interactions are very much built for you to be as if you were virtually there. And then it just helps, like, the game itself is very fun. The mechanics feel wonderful. It's one of those things, I really have not spent enough time with it. I think after that one came out, I had two or three other games show up immediately that kind of took my attention.
Which is, yeah, but it's like almost like a Tron dodgeball kind of thing, right? Or something like that.
Yeah, yeah. So it's 1v1, and it's only online. I think there's a few single-player modes, but not quite as... not quite as interesting, but so it's 1v1. You go into like a matchmaking room where there's like anywhere between 2 to 4 people watching 2 people compete.
Right.
And you're kind of talking and you're dancing around, and then when it's your turn, you hop in and you're against one of them, and off you go. So I mean, it's a very supportive community. It's a very friendly type of space.
Cool.
It's a little, you know, I'm not really one for online interaction too much, so it's a bit intimidating in some way,
yeah.
As far as for me, yeah, to get into it. But yeah, anyways, the actual game, yeah, so you have both your fists, you have 2 different, you have kind of like a grabber, then you have a shield, so you can grab the ball and hurl it down. You have a shield, you can bounce it off in different directions. There's different, the way it bounces, there's different trick shots, and then you're just trying to hit the goal that's behind the other player.
Okay.
So, yeah, so it's very much just like, so it's kind of like score, very much like a basketball or a soccer or hockey type of thing, except it's in this square room with Tron style energy weapons type of thing.
Cool.
Yeah,
that sounds neat. It seemed kind of more active too.
Oh yeah.
To kind of treat it like a almost not quite a workout, but just to get you up and moving.
Oh yeah, we had a one of the Gaming Dead victory recipients, Alfred, from a couple shows ago. He had stated that was one of his go-to workouts, where he was putting in a good like 30 minutes to an hour every day on it, and like building up a pretty good sweat.
And yeah,
you jump around.
Yeah, it might be one worth picking up.
I think so. So I think like, oh shoot, you had drummed up a memory, and I can't remember the other one I was gonna say. Rhombus of Ruin looks interesting, really interesting. That's within the Psychonauts world.
Okay.
From Tim Schafer and Double Fine. I didn't buy it, but just like those guys don't release anything but quality. Oh, did you ever pick up Tumble?
I did.
Okay.
And it is really cool, and I highly recommend that to any kind of puzzle fanatic. It's kind of a cool experience to like stack blocks and blow up blocks in 3D or in VR, I guess.
Oh yeah, it's just like it's so incredibly well rendered.
Yeah, like the right. Fidelity. And even like the textures and
Just the weight, like, cause you just get a sense of like how much everything's supposed to weigh and where it goes. Like it's a sleeper. It's one of those things that you didn't think would be amazing, but it is truly incredible. I think that's I agree with you. I think that and that's probably super cheap. I remember I picked it up for something like $5 or less.
Yeah, it wasn't very expensive, so I imagine it's on the same kind of pay scale. But yeah, highly recommended to puzzle people out there.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, just generally, yeah, go through whatever your preference is. This one's, it's got something for you. And even the big titles too. It's like Resident Evil is on sale. Arizona
Never Ascension. Will ever buy that.
Oh man, so I was going to wrap it up, but we have a, did you play Overwatch last weekend?
I will say I downloaded it. I will not say I played it.
That is not a victory.
It is not a victory. I was looking forward to playing it just to get kind of the
you
scoop.
Were not.
I was not. I totally was not. That's a lie. But I did download it, and the weekend got away with me, and I never got to it. So my wife's still on Stardew Valley, so I don't even have a PS4 at this moment. It's just
sitting there. So we're friends on the PlayStation Network, so I see your trophies and everything.
Yeah.
There's a whole hell of a lot of Stardew Valley trophies coming in lately.
I'm telling you, it's not lying on that one.
That's right. It's like I see them stream in. I'm like, oh, Jeff hasn't gotten to play for a while.
Like, you should message just like, hi, can Jeff come online and play? That'd be great.
Can Jeff come play? No, he's grounded.
It's mine now. It's mine.
He had his chance. You know what he did. Yeah. He knows what he did.
I know.
Oh,
congrats.
That will do it for us here. Thank you, everybody, so much for listening. This has been New Dad Gaming. If you'd like to get a hold of us, you can find us at our website at newdadgaming.com. You can also find us on all the social media networks. We'd love to hear from you if you have a show idea, a question, or anything else you'd like to throw our way. You can subscribe to the podcast on iTunes, on Google Play, and any of the other podcasting services. We'd, of course, love a subscription, a like, a comment, and passing it along to any new dad who games. Thank you so much for listening. My name is Trevor, and I have a 2.5-year-old who doesn't sleep, and a 5-month-old who also doesn't sleep.
And I'm Jeff. I have a sleeping 7-year-old almost sleeping 4-year-old.
That's not cool. I hope your wife never finishes Stardew Valley.
Yeah, it's forever. Oh, no.
All right. See you next week.
See ya.